Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Big issues, big guests. None bigger. The hottest guy out there in cable TV for me. And last night he should have had a big bib on. I saw a saliva drip given what happened with the President Trump speech and the Democrats' reaction to it. Former congressman, current take on all comers on CNN on 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock or later. Scott Jennings joins us again here on the Dom Show. Scott, welcome in. And I saw the saliva drip last night when you came on set after seeing the Democrats in action.
Well, good to be with you. And you're exactly right. I couldn't. I can't believe what I'm seeing because this is the state of the Democratic Party right now. It is. I mean, this party at its core is completely and totally defined by reflexive opposition to Donald Trump. Even if Donald Trump says something that 80-90% of Americans agree with, they have to reflexively oppose it. And not only do they oppose it, but they do it in a nasty way. I mean, a guy's up here introducing a kid who's surviving brain cancer, a guy's going to West Point, a guy and his mother, the guy gets rescued from a Russian prison. They can't clap for any of it. These are objectively good things. And they're so sullen and angry that he won the election that they're showing the American people that they're really out of touch with where most of us want to be. So I think it was a great night for Trump, a rough night for the opposition party. They are leaderless, rudderless, and really in a bad way right now.
And I think you said last night in the middle of something, you've said it recently, name somebody on the Democrat side more popular, I guess even remotely as popular as President Trump. Who do they have? Who's their most? Is it Jasmine Crockett? Now, I would pay Jasmine Crockett on CNN and Scott Jennings, but who's their face that's relatively popular?
They don't have one. I mean, that's the problem, is that they don't have a leader. And in a vacuum like that, the most outrageous people will rise up. I have to give credit to Jasmine Crockett. She's in a leaderless party. So There's nobody else who's going out there and getting on television, doing radio, doing podcasts. She's ubiquitous. She's everywhere. And she's probably the worst possible spokesperson for the Democratic Party. And yet they're allowing it to happen. They're being defined by these radical voices. And, you know, look, I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I want Donald Trump to do well. That's fine with me. But my goodness gracious, it is a terrible political strategy. There's a fantasy circulating among media and among Democrats that Republicans are not happy with Trump. And it, you know, you hear it all the time. Well, this is not what anybody voted for. It's exactly what we voted for. I mean, they're telling themselves stories. Meanwhile, the Democrats, according to Quinnipiac, The Democrats in Congress have a 21% approval rating, and Trump is sitting a little over 50. There's no contest right now.
You talk about it, too, and it's an obvious thing, but it takes skill and it takes an eye, and people, and he listens to a lot of people, Scott. His superpower, 80-20 issues, I think they're 85-15, the trans thing, for example. We keep on going back to that. I have my theory, and I think you have said similar things. Why would Democrats persist in that? Even Kamala Harris could revoke fracking. They let her get away with it, but she could not move past that issue.
Yeah, their party is captured right now by a bunch of constituencies that exist on the extreme fringe of American politics. That's one of them. The climate people, that's another one. You know, they have extreme fringe constituencies that sort of make up a big chunk of their party. And there's not a leader of their party who's strong enough or smart enough to say, wait a minute, we don't want to be defined by these extreme ideologies, by these extremists, by these fringe radicals. And the other problem they're suffering from is that in middle America, in congressional districts across this country that have any rural area at all, they don't have any representation. The Democrats are basically non-existent. So they've been sort of forced to represent all these urban, extremely liberal districts. They have lost touch, completely lost touch with a vast majority of the United States, and therefore a vast majority of the American people. And a lot of it is over issues like this. The reason Trump keeps bringing it up is because it's not just about the issue. It communicates something about your judgment. If you can't get on the right side of this, what else crazy thing would you believe? And it's really smart. It was smart for him to do it in the campaign. It's smart now.
Yeah, I think it takes people that might be a bit apolitical. And when they hear one party says we're going to have men or boys against girls, they want to know who that party is. And to your point, it goes off. It's a tell. And they say, no, I can't be with that party.
That's right. If I'm just a casual observer, if right. I'm only briefly picking up headlines, maybe I don't even vote in every election, I can darn sure tell you I don't want to be associated with the people who couldn't even acknowledge that poor kid up in the gallery last night who got brain damage after being spiked on in a volleyball game by a biological male playing in girls' sports. So they wouldn't even acknowledge that. And, you know, not to mention earlier this week, every single Senate Democrat voted against the bill to protect girls from boys playing in their sports. And that includes Senator Slotkin of Michigan, who gave their response last night. She was being heralded on set with me last night as a moderate voice. You're not moderate if you're voting against that. I'm sorry, you're not a moderate. You're an extremist, just like everybody else. You may try to act like it, but you're not. That issue alone makes you an extremist, according to public opinion in the United States.
So, Scott, when you were in Congress and you were there, what's it like in the room? What's your big memory of that? What presidents were you there for? And was it like last night, or would they grudgingly, whichever side, Republicans or Democrats, applaud? Because politically, you just have to for certain things.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I never was in Congress. I know I heard you say that earlier.
Oh,
and I thought, boy,
my mistake.
I was elected. And maybe I should be. I don't know. Maybe I will be.
I don't know why I have that impression. Absolutely. No, I'm embarrassed. I thought that was a given. So, go ahead.
Well, my view is, and I go back to Joe Biden's, State of the Union last year. I heard people say last night, I've never heard a more partisan State of the Union. Were you there last year? Did you watch television last year? Joe Biden gave one of the most nakedly partisan State of the Union addresses. He repeatedly went after Donald Trump. That was the famous speech where he was screaming intermittently to make people believe that he was awake at that hour. I mean, it was very partisan. It was very political. I don't think Trump did anything last night that is really all that out of the ordinary. He went through what he thinks his successes are. He defined himself against his opponents. He introduced interesting stories of real Americans. I mean, it was pretty standard fare. What was not standard was a guy getting thrown off the House floor within minutes of the speech starting. I mean, honestly, like, you got a Democrat member of Congress waving a cane at the president of the United States. Is this 1853 out here? Like, what are we doing? This is not the way we act. And yet, the Democrats can't get control of their emotions and their political strategy long enough to realize just how ridiculous it makes the rest of them look.
What's the fault line that Trump has to watch now? He talked a little bit about tariffs last night. I'm not a fan of tariffs. I haven't heard Scott Jennings talk about them on CNN. Is there a fault line right now? What does he have to do moving forward? A lot of this stuff is popular. Is there anything to be wary of?
Well, of course, it's always the economy. And yeah. I think most of what Trump is doing is very popular. He's effectively closed the southern border. The line of the night, by the way, was they said we needed legislation. It turned out all we needed was a new president. That was the line of the night. I think the cultural issues, the sort of the common sense 80-20 stuff, he's nailing every day. But, you know, what's going to take a few months to sort out is the economy. Is his economic plan, which does include tariffs, which will include, hopefully, making permanent the Trump tax cuts, which will include changes to national energy policy. When all that goes into the pot, when it comes out the other side, do people feel more or less economic anxiety than they did during Biden? I think he's got more time than Democrats give him credit for. I keep hearing Democrats on TV saying, oh, my gosh, you know, how come he hasn't solved all the problems we caused? Well, he's been in office for 40 days. He's got some months. But if we're having this conversation next year and people feel more and not less economic anxiety, there's no question it'll be a political problem. Now, I happen to believe if Republicans in Congress do everything they should do with reconciliation, that this is all going to come out, and energy, by the way, this is all going to come out okay on the other side. But always, for every president, it's just a feeling of economic anxiety or economic security, and which side of the dial do you fall on?
Why not tax cuts first? Kudlow last night constantly beating that drum. Is that just Kudlow? Why not do the tax cuts first, then the tariff movement?
Yeah, he... What I have come to believe about President Trump is that the tariffs are deeply held beliefs of his. He's been talking about it for decades. He loves tariffs. He thinks they will work. He believes that the stimulation of American manufacturing will come. And look, there's some anecdotal evidence that it's working. Honda's opening a plant in Indiana.
Right.
The chip guys from Taiwan are opening stuff in Arizona. So, you know, he's going to have some investment stories to tell. I think $1.7 trillion in investments so far that he would attribute to tariffs or threats of tariffs. You know, what you don't know is the lingering impact of it with the flow of commerce with other countries. I would point out he did put tariffs on China in his first term. Biden left them on, and the world didn't come to an end. You know,
right.
It did not come to an end. Now, the Mexico and Canada situation is a little different. I would say we're a much bigger part of their economy than they are of ours. Yes, they're big trading partners, fully acknowledged. And I'm like you, it makes me nervous, the idea of a lingering trade war. But they stand to lose a lot more than we do, which makes me think someday all the parties will come to the table and say, okay, here's what's best for everyone. And he's not wrong about one issue. They do need to do a better job of being better neighbors when it comes to immigration and fentanyl. He's totally right about that.
Do you think Canada? See, I don't see it with Canada. Mexico is where, let's face it, it's a root problem, and we have to take on the cartels. I mean, I went there once to Juarez, and this is years ago, and it was horrible even then, Scott. I'm talking to the mayor of Juarez with desks piled up all around us to defuse the blast, he told me. Isn't that where the problem is? Canadians, you think, have been deficient in trying to stop fentanyl?
I think they've been deficient in being responsive. It's clearly a bigger issue for Mexico than Canada.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much of it to kill you. And, you know, Trump thinks they have not been as responsive to this. And I think the Canadians also think that, because a month ago when they were having this conversation, Canada agreed to some extra measures, some extra money, some extra technology on their border.
Yeah, so they did.
They agreed to. And so, you know, you wouldn't agree to that if you didn't think there was some issue. But you're right. The Mexican problem is huge. And obviously designating the cartels as terrorists, showing a willingness to say we're going to send the U.S. military to kill these people if you guys don't get a handle on it. The communication from Trump is that we're serious about this, and the Mexican government needs to hear that. They have a lot of work to do here, and I hope they do it. I hope they do it because, you know, as you know, in your community and where I live in Kentucky, every community in the heartland of America, people are dying from this stuff. It's destroying communities and families and has been for years. People are sick of it.
Parting area, I'm really interested anytime we have you on, Scott. Thanks for coming on a big day analysis after this. The L.A. Times situation and a foothold here, how's that going as far as the change with the newspaper, the ownership, the editorial page, et cetera?
Well, I think Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong has a radical and visionary idea, which is we're going to make the news page about the news and the opinion page about opinions, and the opinions are going to be broad enough that everybody can see what's going on. I mean, it's, you know, it sounds radical, but that's what he's trying to do. I think it's a great idea. I actually wrote a piece for the L.A. Times yesterday. It's on their website right now about the cleanup that's going on in L.A. following the wildfire. This has not been widely covered in the news, but I wrote it. It only took the EPA under Trump 29 days to complete the phase one cleanup of the L.A. wildfire zone. The estimate was it was going to take 18 months. Now, you might remember that everyone and every Democrat was predicting Trump would abandon Los Angeles, that he would punish them because they're a blue state. They go in and clean it up in 29 days. And so I wrote a piece saying all this doomsaying from Democrats was obviously overblown. But that's an example of, you know, the LA Times. They took it. It's right there. You can read it right on the newspaper. And I think that's a good opinion and a good piece for them to have running on their site. So, look, I think anytime you're trying to make big change at an institution, it takes a while. But I'm happy with what he's doing with the paper. I think it's going to work. I think more newspapers are going to try to appeal to more people. You know, that's the main problem. They've gotten to the place where they didn't want to appeal to half or more than half of the country. Exactly. I think those days are over. They're over.
Well, thanks. We'll go to that site because that story, I hadn't heard it anywhere else. We were inundated in talk radio, as you know, and you're at CNN. I haven't heard one person talk about that. And that says something about Trump, even in a blue city. He's determined to go all out because he wants to show you this is what he's all about.
I got my hands on this week a memo that had been written by the National Security Council staff because Mike Waltz, the National Security Advisor, he oversees interagency coordination for natural disasters. And so they're telling the president in this memo, we thought it would take 18 months. We got it done in 29 days. We had like 1,500, 1,600 people on the ground, 50 teams. I also obtained a letter from the California Environmental Cabinet Secretary, certainly no conservative. She wrote a letter to Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, saying, thank you so much for doing this and working with us. This is beyond our wildest expectations. It was a great letter. So you've got Trump helping California, Democrats and Republicans working together, state and federal working together. It's actually a story of competence in governing. And yet I had to write it.
That's good stuff.
So I did.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that up next break. Scott, now when are you on again tonight? What time are you on tonight?
Two slots today, 4 o'clock Eastern, on with Casey Hunt and her new time slot on CNN. And then tonight at 9 o'clock with Caitlin Collins, our chief White House correspondent. So two slots today and back in the Thunderdome with Abby tomorrow night at 10.
Is there a limit to how many guys can wear hats on that show? Cowboy hats and some kind of hats? Seems to be a lot of hat wearing.
Yeah, we have some costumery that goes on and I'll allow it if they'll keep showing up and allowing me to engage in the debate, because I think it's the best show on television. We're having a big time.
Well, the numbers indicate that. The numbers indicate how much that's gone up. And people I talk with, that long form and seeing you in the ring, the Thunderdome with them. Absolutely, Scott. Thank you so much. Anytime, please come back.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the invite and the time today.
All right. Scott Jennings, can't do better than that, Dan. Nowhere did I see that story. I don't look at the LA Times every day. It's the only way you'll see it. 29 days, he said, cleanup should have taken 18 months. Worth it right there.
Yeah.
Why would Trump and why would they push to do that? Competency is what he wants to do.
Could you do me a favor?
Yes.
Next time you have him on, will you ask him about his wrestling fandom?
Oh, I didn't know that.
On the way out, he goes, all right, brother.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe that's
almost a Hulk Hogan
all right,
reference
I'm
there
putting
again.
A note down.
He's on
that
tore his shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime we can get. I just thought I don't know why. I thought he was a congressman. A couple of times he was generous about it. Where did he come from? I have to. That they suddenly had him as a pundit. He's been on for years, but suddenly the last year or so, it really has taken off. All right, coming up in a minute, we'll play you some of the sound of this Congresswoman.
I love you had to Google it because I really thought he was.
Congresswoman Virginia Fox forcing the mayors to tell us how much they actually spend on illegal aliens. But first, it's time.
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Money gone.
All right. Today, you're playing for a pair of tickets to see the great Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra Saturday, April 5th at a big venue, Keswick Theater in Glenside, Pennsylvania. For tickets, where do you go? Henry, it's your turn.
No, it's your turn, Dom.
JoeConklin.com.
There it is.
All right. Thank you, Joe. The stuff they make me do here, it's amazing. Guys stopping by around the clock. I'm not recognizing anything's going on today. All right, Dan, what do you have?
Yeah, so, Dom, today, to honor that great new trip that you just announced today and our side question,
yes.
Celebrating your home country. Well, your home country is America. It's the United States. I got to stop saying that. But the country of origin for yourself. Well, no, that doesn't work either. Well, whatever. I'm going to play some Tom Jones, Delilah, and he's singing alongside someone who fits pretty well with our side questions. So, Dom, okay. We want to know who Tom Jones is singing alongside, covering one of Tom Jones' hits. Take a listen.
That girl was no good for me.
Well, there's Tom Jones.
Right.
But I was lost like a slave and no man.
And here comes a recognizable voice. Who is this, Dom? You recognize that?
I do not. I know it's not Janis Joplin. We played that many times with Tom Jones. All right. This is quite a deal. Tom Jones has done a lot of wild stuff. He's not just the lounge act type of thing. All right. 855-839-1210. Hit us with that. You're off to see Joe Conklin. Jump on board, and then we'll take more of your calls, and we'll play you Virginia Fox. How much are these people actually spending on people here illegally on Talk Radio 12?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Then, all right, all we need today is identify this singer along with the great Sir Tom Jones.
Oh, yeah, I forgot what we were doing there.
Yes, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, this hearing's going on. Take a listen. Right. We want to know who the singer with Tom Jones is.
All right, who is that? Let's go to Al in Clifton Heights, Luzamuda country. Al, good afternoon. Yeah. Who's singing?
Good afternoon. Is it Pavarotti?
What's going on here, guy? Yes, it is Pavarotti. Yes. I don't know why I thought it was Bocelli, but it is Pavarotti with Tom Jones. What's more improbable, Tom Jones with Pavarotti or Janis Joplin? Oh, my God. You got to have to understand, Janis Joplin died at what, the age of 27? I believe it was heroin overdose and was the...
Yeah, that's more crazy.
Yeah, the Haight-Ashbury, the Doors, the...
Jimmy.
Jimi Hendrix. In that mode of wild. And then you have lounge singer extraordinaire Tom Jones with her. And Tom Jones looked hipper in that. They were just... He blended in well with
The all black he was wearing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tom was doing a show at the time where he had guest after guest come on and do that. But so this was 2001. Pavarotti had a concert with a bunch of other musicians kind of singing their songs. I mean, kind of impressive, but he was known, Tom Jones, at that point as one of the great voices, and so was Pavarotti. So it made sense, I would guess, compared to Janis Joplin, who makes zero sense to me to go on the Tom Jones show.
I can see her. They tell her you're on the Tom Jones show. It's like, what the hell, you know? Well, Sinatra and Elvis was kind of a interesting duo, too. I've seen that. Okay. All right. Now, here is, and I think, Henry, you were the first person to get her on the show, and it was on something. She's pretty provocative. Congresswoman Virginia Fox grilling the mayors today, forcing the mayors of Denver, Eric Adams, New York, of course, Brandon Johnson from, there were two Johnsons from Chicago, and I forget.
Johnson
and Johnson. I forget the fourth. How much do you actually spend on illegal aliens? That's what we wanted to know. Here's how it sounded.
That's Dr. Fox from North Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor Johnson, in the last 4 years, how much has Chicago spent on care for illegal aliens?
Thank you for that question, Congresswoman. So since 2022, since the governor of Texas began
just
shipping...
Just tell me a number. I don't need a speech. Just tell me a number.
So since 2022, since the governor of Texas was shipping individuals to cities across this country, the city's budget, roughly 1% of the city's budget over the course of 4 years.
Mayor Johnston, the same question, and I don't need a speech, just a number.
Thank you, Dr. Congresswoman.
Thank you, Congresswoman. It's $79 million over the last 2.5 years.
Mayor Adams, same question. How much has New York spent to care for illegal aliens?
Approximately $6.9 billion went out of our taxpayers' funds.
Mayor Williams, same question. How much has Boston spent to care for illegal aliens in the last 4 years?
We do not ask about immigration status and giving city services and providing that access, so we do not have a number.
Well, isn't that good to get out of that one? $6.9 billion, and the way he said it, it's like he's turned. He's on the other side.
I like the clever Johnson, too, saying 1% of the budget, right?
Yeah.
2025 budget for Chicago, Dom, $18.7 billion. That's $187 million in a year.
Yeah. And Chicago, they're not happy with this, but they'll vote for this guy again to run the second term. I don't see anything happening there. It's taken away the federal money. Now, here is a meltdown of the woman from New Mexico, Melanie Stansberry, from congressional district there. She's the one that put that sign as President Trump near his head was walking in. Not normal. And by the way, no Democrat would walk in with the president last night, which is traditional. Everybody does that. Both parties, you walk in with the person, the opposite party. They're part of the entourage that comes in. Here's how it sounded.
Now, I want to reject the fundamental premise of this hearing, because what this entire effort is about is intimidating state and local officials, attacking law-abiding immigrant families, and spending millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars, both in the administration and in Congress, to make ads that are complete smoke and mirrors, trying to say that Donald Trump has somehow secured America's safety. What they are doing is not making America safer. In fact, it's a total and complete lie, because Donald Trump has failed to actually even secure the border. He's failed to stop illicit drugs like fentanyl from crossing the border. He's failed to secure sufficient staffing and technology to stop human trafficking and illicit drugs from crossing the border. He's failed to support local law enforcement and behavioral health programs to address the issues that are affecting our communities. And he's failed to even execute on the most basic thing that he said he would do, which was to pass immigration reform when he got into office. Here we are, Donald Trump. Where's your immigration bill?
Again, with the bill, we're back to that. America doesn't care about the bill. They care about the results. By the way, I just saw on Fox in the middle of this, too, something. I don't know if I have this here. Something that President Trump said last night to kids out there. You're perfect in the body you were born in. A lot of play today on that. You're not allowed to say that anymore on the whole trans issue. Back and forth with this. The only thing that's going to stop these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary city mayors is federal funding taking that away. And you heard Congressman McKenzie today say they're working on a bill on that, because going through the judicial system, they're going to block it at every term. We've been through this for a number of years.
Anna Paulina Luna did suggest a different way of potentially blocking. Did you want to hear
it? Yeah.
So you don't believe that banning the transfer of individuals into ICE custody for the purpose of civil immigration enforcement encourages illegal immigration into Chicago? Or how about agencies, sorry, one second, or agents not being able to stop, arrest, or detain individuals based solely on their immigration status or administrative warrant?
So we comply with all laws, local, state, and federal.
To me, after this line of questioning, it's very clear that these policies that you have all implicated are active and alive and well in your cities, are in direct violation with U.S. Title 8, Code Subsection 1324, and is a federal offense. But you all speak about a broken immigration system, and yet here you guys are aiding and abetting in that entire process. I want to be very clear about something. Open border policies, which is something that you guys are talking about, hurts people on both sides, meaning the people that are coming here illegally and then American citizens as well. I do not think you guys are bad people, but I think that you are ideologically misled, which is why, unfortunately, based on your responses, I'm all going to be criminally referring you to the Department of Justice for investigation. And as soon as I leave here, these will be going over to Pam Bondi. I'm not doing that in an effort to bully you guys, but I do believe that your policies are hurting the American people, and you can make that known with the evidence that you can present to the Department of Justice. But if you guys continue doing what you're doing, you're not going to help anyone. You're going to hurt more people, and that's exactly why I'm tired of it, the American people are tired of it, and Chairman, I yield my time.
All right, we'll see. You can try to do that. I'm glad they're looking at alternatives to push back. To get some of that. Adams clearly, for a lot of reasons, has moved away from this. Again, Sherelle Parker is not a leading voice going down this path of sanctuary city, even though Philadelphia is. The worst of today, Congressman McKenzie on from Lehigh Valley, Allentown, telling us they have this McClure guy. We're going to see if we can get him on. He decided 5 years ago they're going to release the prisoners. When they want to release them that are here illegally, not warning ICE and releasing them, or even if they do warn ICE, they release them in the parking lot. They release them to the street. So ICE has to stake out all day. It could be 8-10 hours, whatever, waiting for this. The guy could run, grab somebody, do whatever, fire at ICE. Gang members could show up. Other people could get involved with this. This is happening right here, Northampton County. Their guy will release them to the streets when we feel like for various crimes. We're not going to hold them on detainer. We're not going to let ICE come into the jail and make a secure transfer there. We're going to let them run into the street. Now, that is something that has to be addressed. I realize how maddening this is because the courts are just basically going to say, no, we do not care. We are going to block this in every way, shape, or form. Yesterday, we had on the mom and the attorney, a civil rights case, young woman who had to play against a male cross country. Colonial School District was one, was at Plymouth White Marsh. And both school districts complicit in this, according to their testimony, and saying the girl was in trouble. She told the guy who played against him at the end of the race, you're not a girl, you're not a woman, you're a male. Just saying that was bullying, apparently. The judge yesterday, federal judge appointed by one of the Democrats, said, nope, I am dismissing this. They're going to keep on this, hopefully running out the clock. But it's maddening to hear that you heard billions of dollars, even in a city like New York, on people that are here illegally. All right, coming to you on your calls. Hit us with somebody, something Italian. Again, we announced today, and I'm announcing it again, if you missed it the second time, we are headed back to Italy. And, well, very southern Italy. You don't just visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with this ancient crossroads of civilization. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans, they all left their cultural mark. I think White Lotus, the previous White Lotus, a lot in Sicily. So why don't you join Ro and me for the sun, the sea, the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Calabria this fall. Ro's home region for her family. I'll be heading to Europe again. The best tour operators, you've heard them on with me You've heard the results, multiple trips with a lot of hosts here, conservative tours. They are incredible. All this for just $55.44, including airfare. The dining events, we'll be laying them out. They are legendary. They know the places. They know the players. They know the food. You will be amazed. We'll visit bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, Montreale, the Palace of the Normans. Here's the phone number and the website. Call Conservative Tours to get all the details right now at 888-733-9494. Or go to their website, conservativetours.com. We're even going to enjoy the Godfather Tour. That's right. All the locales in the movie. The crown jewel of Sicily, that has to be Taormina. Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily, ancient, charming, picturesque, and always really a country within a country. I'll see you in Savoca. All you have to do is call Conservative Tours, 888-733-9494. It is Dom time. This Mayor Sanctuary City today is just incredible. Nancy Mace, let's face it, not the most pleasant, difficult interview, can be kind of prickly, but effective in this. Here's Nancy Mace from South Carolina with the four mayors, telling them her thoughts after trying to get some information from them today.
Okay, do you believe it's acceptable for illegals who commit heinous crimes be released back into the public instead of being detained and deported? Mayor Adams, yes or no?
Anyone break a crime?
Yes or no? This is not hard. Yes or no?
Anyone that break a crime should be detained.
Okay, Mayor, yes or no?
They should be deported.
Okay, Mayor.
Any individual that
yes or
causes
no.
harm
yes or no.
breaks
okay,
the law
Mayor Wu,
should be held accountable.
This is why you have 6% approval rating, because you suck at answering questions. Mayor Wu, yes
anyone,
or no?
Anyone who's a public safety threat should be prosecuted.
All right, I have my next question.
But in Chicago, are they actually going to defeat this guy? His approval rating is worse than anything imaginable.
It doesn't matter. I think they're a lost
cause.
Yeah,
they continue to go. Well, African Americans, they are the illegal in the thing. And the mayor of Chicago today went for it. He kept on bringing up Abbott. In other words, they wouldn't have had this problem except for Abbott. Now, Abbott, brilliantly, we saw what happened with sending them to Martha's Vineyard, how quickly they dispatched them. DeSantis on that one. I just think what he did was exactly the right thing. Why should Texas have to put up with all this? But they're not going to answer that question easily. We'll see. We'll see how it continues. The only thing they can do is take away the money. All right. We're asking today on the side question about something Italian. Sicily, the trip. Hope you'll consider it. Hope you'll contact Conservative Tours, get all the information. And in coming days, we'll lay it out even more. These are fabulous. The last time we took about 60 listeners to Venice, Rome, that part of it. Years ago, we did the same thing. This time, much different. And Sicily, much talked about. Calabria, the Godfather Tour, all of that. It's I think of Palermo, I think of Patton racing Montgomery, who was going to be the first there. All right, let's go to Robert in Ben Salem. Hey, Robert, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. Thought the speech was great, and I understand that the Democrats don't want to clap for nothing, and that's going to be their undoing, because I remember when Obama talked about taking out Osama bin Laden, everybody stood up and cheered.
Yeah, that night people went to the White House, and these were some Republicans, too, screaming USA, USA when he took out Osama bin Laden. Exactly.
And as much as it might irritate people, I've heard people say they hate them now. Don't hate them. It's just a waste of energy. You want them to lose, let them keep doing what they're doing. I don't see a win for these guys going forward unless they seriously change their path, and I don't see that happening either, Dom.
No, and again, Jennings just laid it out beautifully. These are 80-20 issues, and the one we're talking about, Robert, it's 100-0. You have to applaud a 13-year-old kid fighting brain cancer who's being made a Secret Service agent. You in America have to applaud that. Whatever the context you think it is,
If you don't, it's 100-0.
Absolutely. And I think that, like I said, they're going to keep going and they're going to keep losing. And I'm not, if somebody wants to dig them a hole, give them a shovel, Dom. As hard as it is to take, let them dig their own grave.
But, and that's the right perspective on this, Robert. I know people get agitated. We see this stuff like with the sanctuary cities. I try to take, and you're right, the long view. In the end, though, we're going to get a lot more done because they're not going to be in power.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. And I could go on forever with this, but it's interesting. But I'll get right to the side question. I wanted to go outside the box because a lot of the answers were previously taken or whatever. I'm going to go with anarchists. And I say that because first we had, you know, Sacco and Vanzetti.
Yep.
And they were convicted and sentenced to death. An associate of Vanzetti's named Mario Buda, who was a Galleanist anarchist from Italy, engineered the first home terrorist attack. It was 130 pounds of dynamite in a horse-drawn carriage left in front of the stock exchange on Wall Street at 12:01 p.m. at lunchtime. It killed 40 people, killed the horse, and it wounded hundreds more. Before they were able to piece it together, Mario Buda had boarded the ship and went back to Italy, so they never were able to try him for it. But I'm just wondering, you guys have such a beautiful country down there, Dominic. What's with the anger of the anarchy? I look at the food and I look at the scenery, right. And I think, what am I mad about?
Yeah, if it were Dan's country, I could see why they'd be mad there. You know?
Ouch.
Yeah. All right.
You guys have a great day, Dom.
Thank you. Thanks, Robert, very much. All right, we'll get to the lightning round. Boy, it's amazing what people dig up on the side question here. That's why we love it. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, that's right. Henry from the desk of Hank. We'll have a lot more in sports tomorrow, but the Eagles, a big signing, right?
Yeah, big three-year, $51 million contract for our all-pro linebacker, Zach Bond.
And that's after they paid Saquon Barkley, what, 3 years and $20 million? We don't know how much is guaranteed each year.
Yeah. $41
million? Yeah, that's the one that's surprising. The salary cap, you're going to tell us tomorrow, the Thursday sports really doesn't exist.
It does not. Especially in Howie Roseman's eyes, it does not exist.
Okay. But sports talk, it's amazing to me. I can't imagine anything like that and what we talk about where it's away from the subject, and we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Are you going to talk about the Sixers?
Well, okay. Let's go to Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what is Italian to Joe?
Benvenuti, Dom.
Benvenuti, Joe.
It would be Roman concrete. When the Romans discovered that by mixing a volcanic pumice with the cement, that it would make perfect hydraulic concrete. And few people realize that the Colosseum, the Pantheon, and the aqueducts are all made of concrete.
Very nice. All I know is that's the analogy, Dan, I use when I'm standing above President Trump at the Resolute desk looking at the hair, and it looked like the viaducts or the aqueducts maneuvering in there that the ancient Romans used to do something. But he's right. They created Rome's. Roads. Let's go. Oh, Joanna in Gloucester Township. This is one I was going to take off the board. Italians, Joanna, what do you say?
Hi, Dom and company. I've been listening since noon, like I always or usually do. And Italy is just a fabulous country as far as the architecture, the food, everything. Being an Italian, growing up Italian, what stands out to me is the Italian family. You see it on TV, you see it in movies for years and years. The closeness of the family. I was blessed to grow up with 14 aunts and uncles and God knows how many cousins. And we were always, always together at somebody's house for a Sunday dinner.
What's the key word in The Godfather? What's it all about?
Don't go against the family.
What's the matter with you? I think your brain is going soft.
Thank you, Joanna.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
Yeah, the family. That is an excellent summary. Now, Dan, I hope he can go on the trip. He would be like a better tour guide even on this trip. I mean, University of Florence, God knows where else he's been, the great Joe of Exton. Hey, Joe, what's your answer today?
Yes, hello, Dom. Good afternoon. My Italian phenomenon is the Villa Medici on the outskirts of Florence, and specifically the staircase, which is a double-sided staircase. And the beauty of its design lies in the elegance of its flair, its wideness as it spreads out as you descend the steps. Now, in Philadelphia, on Broad Street, the Union League building has a double-sided staircase, which is a replica of the one in Florence, albeit a minimal one.
All right, Joe, you came through as usual. Nobody
better.
That was
a great answer, man.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that. I learned something new again.
I felt as if we were throwing three coins into the fountain right there.
There's a nice staircase outside the Union League there.
That is. I didn't know it was a replica of that, though. It's huge.
How did Joe know something like that?
Yeah, well, he was University of Florence. Another Joe. Joe in Columbus on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe. Afternoon.
Wow, three Joes in a row. My selection is, and if it wasn't for this guy, I would have never got to know you, Dan, Henry, and I can go on and on. It's Guglielmo Marconi, the inventor of the radio.
Yeah, in my top 10 Italians, he's right behind Chef Boyardee. He's right there.
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. That's not pasta, Dom.
We've been through this, though. Chef Boyardee brought it to the masses, though. He did. He wasn't around for the Olive Garden. That would have been great. Oh, Dan, I would have loved to book Chef Boyardee. That'd be a great show.
Producer's note, there's actually four Joes in a row.
Was it? Yeah.
Joe, Joanna, Jojo.
That's right.
A lot of Joes. Maybe we do that as a side question. Soon.
Yeah, true. The Earl of Tacconi on Talk Radio 1210.
Combo breaker.
Yes, Earl. What do you have, the Earl?
Well, I take umbrage with the fact about the Italian grandmothers with plastic on the couches, because my Polish grandmother had plastic on the couches as well. I was going to give the answer of old Italian grandmothers wearing leopard, but same thing. My grandmother always used to wear leopard print all the time, so you know, I'm excluding myself. Huh?
Are you sure you're not Italian? It seems you got a lot.
There's a lot of Italian tendencies there.
No, she spoke Polish, so definitely Polish on that side. But I want to change my answer, but it's not fair, so I'll stick with what I called for. And I'm going to have to go with the crying Indian from the Make America Beautiful campaign, Iron Eyes Cody, who was born in Louisiana to Sicilian parents. He's not Native American. He's Sicilian.
All right. Dan, wrestling famed, Chief J. Strongbow apparently was from like 9th and Rittner.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he was Native American. I think he was Italian.
I didn't know he was a Philly guy. That's what I'm wondering.
I believe that he is. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And we think that Scott Jennings, by the way, we're checking on this, is a wrestling fan. Next time he's on, we got to get into that without a doubt. Let me try one more. Let's try. Carmen in Morristown on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Carmen. Afternoon.
Hello, Dominic. I know I have to be quick. My grandfather told me when I was 7 years old, so that's 70 years ago, to take a good look at Michelangelo's David and look at his eyes. They're looking in different directions. And look at his arm and look at the way he's standing. He's standing exactly and looking, his eyes are looking exactly the way the great baseball pitcher will look before he throws the ball for a strike.
I didn't know that.
So there it is.
Was it hard to focus on the eyes, though?
Yeah, it is.
The eyes. the whole thing is in the eyes.
All right. Thank you, Carmen. Boy, that was a murderer's row of great calls on this. Boy. We really got some stuff that's going to be hard. I have a favorite here. I don't want to give it away. So, influence, Henry, what did you hear?
Yeah, I liked, let's go with two Joes. Joe in Bordentown, the Roman concrete, wouldn't have any of these big structures without it. And Joanna in Gloucester, the family, I mean... What more can you say?
Yep, that's where I would be, Joanna's. But Dan, what
do you
say?
No, I got to say, it's something you envy. It's the style of Sunday dinners.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, I think Joanna's is really good. I also like Joe's staircase with the facts of, you know, the Union Ling. But I got to go with Henry's as Joanna, too.
All right, Joanna. Name goes into the hat. And I think we have it still this week with Gallo's, right? Gallo's Seafood.
Correct,
on the Boulevard.
Woo!
For a little while longer.
Another month,
yeah, great stuff. And also their burger
Italian
spot. Thank you, Jim Harvey. As you are a Hall of Fame of Father Judge, and they still keep the Crusaders. Nice. You're not supposed to say Crusaders
Catholic
anymore.
League champs.
That's right.
Yeah,
they won baseball statewide recently. Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I made the mistake, thanks to our mutual friend, Dan. You were there to compare them to St. John Newman, and I think I was booed. That was
you were going with the heel vibe,
yeah? Yeah, I was going with the heel vibe. Get that guy out of here from South Philly.
Oh,
all right. Richie always next. Follow me on Twitter. Don't forget the big trip. Get to conservativetours.com for all the information. Rich next for 4 big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.